Today is Thursday, 14th of June. Tomorrow is Hari Raya. We are still early. Another 10 minutes to go. So if there is anything you want to discuss or share, you can. So just now I was about to tell you all our Tuesday class. We are starting a very good discussion topic regarding karma. So this is a topic that a lot of Buddhists would like to understand, and it's a very wide field. Although we call it just by the word karma. Karma is just a Buddhist word, a Pali word. It's actually based on nature's law. Law karma means moral causation. The usual physical law of cause and effect we all know. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which is Newton's third law of nature. But the Buddha realized one very powerful law with regards to mind. He said, when we put in the moral factor, which he called it the moral causation, then it becomes karma. It's no more a physical law. It's a spiritual law. He called it the law of cause and effect, but with the moral factor behind. That's why it's called moral causation. And this is a very powerful law. And when you understand this law, it can allow you to understand all the things that happen in life. That's why within that text, a lot of Buddhists and non-Buddhists, they have so many questions about life. The most prominent one is inequality that they observe within society. So every society you see, there is so much of this inequality. Some are born in equal. And most things are not equal. Even our own fingers, they got long and short. How can you expect things in this world to be equal? And for those who understand, actually, finally, you need inequality for the way things are. Without this nature's law, inequality will not be what it is. So this topic is very interesting, and many people don't believe karma. They say cannot be. Just like in the discussion, a lot of Kairimita, when they started, especially PG, they say the moment you talk about karma, he walk out of the class. We actually don't believe. He say, how can life be like that? Everything karma. No, the Buddha never say everything is karma. The Buddha say we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. But this is a very powerful law. But he never say karma dominates everything. No. Karma is whatever that has already happened. We have within each and every one of us living beings the nature, which we call it the karmic nature, summation of your beginningless past, moral causation until now. That is your karmic nature. And that one, you will be the sole inheritance. That's why the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, means from this karmic nature, your form and mind come. That's why this physical body and mind is what we call karmically conditional for us to come to this existential world. So this understanding is very rare. Very few people understand. Even Buddhists also don't understand. They only think that they exist, they are real. And they say, karma la. Everything karma. What is karma? Very few people understand. And who are you? What are you? then not only inequality, you look at the way each and every individual, yeah, the way you are born into this world, there can be so much difference. But people tend to look at it as inequality. Yeah. Like some are born wealthy, rich, very fortunate, very blessed. Some are miserable. Some are born defect, deformed, with so much problems. And some go through life with various degree of difficulties. Then some experience hardship, a lot of hardship. Then some like very, very blessed, born into a good family with good parents and all those things. Then as you grow up, you may not be what you are born into. A very, very insignificant individual can turn out to be a very successful person. Some which are born wealthy can end up miserable. Then you can become very different. That's how you look at the world. Everything is not what you think. So what makes an individual stand out? What makes an individual successful? So all these are the questions that the individual has to reflect on, contemplate, develop the understanding, so that you understand clearly what life is. So from this law of karma, one word, the whole of life, the whole of existence can just surface. And you have the inquiry mind. You have good past karmic inheritance. You can understand all this very clearly and you will become beautiful. You will be a blessing to all. If you fail to understand this, you will not understand life. Then you will blame God for everything. Then you will blame your own misery, unfortunate situation and all those things. Then you believe in all the funny rites and rituals. You think you have bad luck. Then you believe in feng shui and all those things, fortune telling. You go to medium. Then you go and do all sorts of funny things, thinking that it will help. But you don't understand this teaching. Whatever you do will not help you. It will make things worse. That's why without wisdom, without understanding, life is not easy. It can be very, very tough. But when you have this understanding, to improve your life, to bring about a better life, is so easy. Just based on all this understanding, then you realize, oh, the Buddha is so wise to be worthy of him, to be called a true Buddhist. You must at least heed his advice. So his advice is very simple. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. And that's the advice of all Samas and Buddha. And this is how you can improve your life, transform your life, and make your life beautiful. And it's just so simple, so direct. And this is what the world needs. Okay, so, oh, exactly 8:10. So we can start our puja, just nice. It's a very good introduction. So bear in mind this topic. Reflect on it, contemplate on it. This is what the real Dhamma is. When you understand karma, you understand the teaching very well. The Buddha once said, the law of karma is very, very complicated, very complex. Only great beings like the Samasambuddha can really fully comprehend it. It's not easy. You need a lot of wisdom to comprehend the full extent of karma. But based on what he has taught you, it's good enough. then if you want to develop further this understanding, you have to really sincerely determine and strive on with heedfulness to cultivate the teaching life after life. You have to take the Bodhisattva way to understand this teaching completely. And without that, not easy. Even the sainthood way, you understand very superficial, not much. Even as an arahant, not much. So this is something that's worth your reflection. Okay, we leave it to Sui An to choose two, to help light the candle and the incense. Then we can have our special, unique pre-Hari Raya Thursday class. So we'll start our puja as usual. So who are the two? The lucky two. Birthday boy, come. And Lehong, come. One pair. So, 一对旧人, 还是新人? 新旧也是一样, 在新里面, 新就是新, 杀掉, 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 杀掉. Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. then we can have our puja. Hai, Jehun Kao. Selamat Hari Raya. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu. Today is Chingyap's birthday. That's why we all have to wish him happy birthday. Ong, ong. Then also Hari Raya Eve tonight. Okay, let us get ready for puja. Compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. We will now commence the chanting on the Vandana. You can turn to page 1. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipambuja offerings of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana motamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe, puje mi butang kusumena mena, punena matena cho tu mokang, pupang mila yati yata idang me, kayo tata yata yati vinasa bawang, Adiva setu no bante, paniyang parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang. Adiva setu no bante, pale parikapitang, Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offerings of candlelight. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Padang Pajame. Damang Pajame. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand tonight, we got some new people. Let us welcome Angie's mom and brothers. Oh, they are from Penang. Yeah. Do they know how to meditate? Oh, good. Sadhu. Oh, sadhu. Wow, like that easy. Huh? Make our sharing easier. Huh? So I don't have to really explain that much. yeah, auntie. Yeah. Look how Hokkien wa. Oh, oh. Amo wa tian vi tiyo. Amo wa I hiao. Vi hiao. Oh, kong na mo Hokkien wa. So, orang tai ke hoan ying. NG lao bu wa. Si lo. So, orang hoan ying auntie. Ka li zao kia, li kia. Hey, si li kia. Tamo kia. I jige si pai tata le pai si orang u jige si fa hui ya. Hua yi le hiao tam bu la. U jige zi xian le fa hui. So jie fa hui si gan tan le. Gan tan ba jin u yi su. I si ga nang m chi zi xian. Ga nang liao gai bụt kinh. Bụt kinh sẽ át tổng yếu. Phó phá át tổng yếu. Tuy chung sinh tuổi băng măng, băng chó. So, auntie from Penang, cô bài Reverend Suvano ở thiên cư yếu. Suvano bắt thiên cư yếu. Suvano ở học kinh bị bài, hổ liều. Y tạ tạ bài ca lang po si zhe xian tia geng a ho liao yi ge ga lu an zhe liao gai bu geng yi gong xiang tong yao le si ai liao gai kui le yi zhou yi wo sa hang ming jian si a te si ye yi gong bo xiong ko bo ngo so le liao gai liao le a yong yi lo bo xiong means wu chang. So wu chang yi su jin jia qim bo xiong. Zhong shen wu chang. Nang shen mia, shen ming ye shi wu chang. Liao le kuan mui zhe ge shen xiang. Rou ti ka shi da zi ren e xing xiang. Yi wu ane kuan e characteristic chao chalai. Yi si yin yan fa. So yin yan fa, because yi si dui liao yin yan, shen mie, shen mie. That's why yi wu chang. So lu liao gai liao wu chang, lu lu bu hui de xia gong delusion 啊 ，delusion 叫痴啊、痴啊、骨痴啊、哈、无痴啊。我是搭阿摩车，当然只是会晓贵些呢。有时不那么错，请原谅。No, 无明 is different. 无明 is ignorant, but 骨痴 is not ignorant. 骨痴 is self delusion. Gucci, Gucci means gong, 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 gong. Bo liao gai, lu si ji shui. Nang jige zong sing, yi si bo ngoi, bo jige ni wo xiang. Lu liao gai ni wo xiang, andi. Ngo, ego. Ego is 无我无众生相无我相所以那个相啊那个我啊是假相假它不是一个永远的名字它是因缘法的生灭生灭所以因为它是因缘法它是不相啊自自在变，点点地变呢。所以那个辛苦也是想，那些人也有生老病死了，是因为无常。伊唔是无常， 伊不也有生老病死的，比较那个这个辛苦是四大皆空，所以这四大人灾啦，荒废巨头，伊不经里面有讲，伊的巴利文我是有，所以迄个伊人会晓摩切的人，甲他们巴利文的伊人读了了。更加容易了解咯，所以咱这一边是爱好大家了解加减不经的物件，了，过一个较重要的物件就是因果，了解了因果就知做咩事爱人爱做好，做好有啊最终的方法。布施也是一个做好的境界。布施有在条训练个这个境界，人的命就真好。有了布施的人，伊的命对了好，比较内心好。所以布施有啊最重。布施，你会使布施金钱啊，有的是布施生命啦，啥捐血啦，捐个 whatever 会帮忙众生啊，有的是来布施佛经，布施来大爱loving kindness， so whatever。都保持出去的，你可以用你的思想，你的 mind， all this can bring about generosity， or what they call dana parami of generosity。所以保持是阿重要的佛法的修道。你可以你无保持的人啊，你无福，无福的人命苦。命苦，无咪机会会去实现。但是不经有教，你爱修，你爱达为布施，当然，你阿得修改是啦。但实现，你使三行，当然是啦，八万啦，布施修改实现，这就是八正道。但伊个想。重要的不经就是四圣谛，四圣谛啊重要，四圣谛是苦集灭道，世间不经有讲，都看到的，闻到的。experience 到的 Sama 是不离别的universal reality， reality 是叫什么呢，像个是真谛的那里，他说头四项是生老病死，人大家要面对的，比如说每日的众生就会出世了呢，爱经过老病死，所以你面对的是你无智慧，你会有啥讲suffering， suffering 就是苦，命真苦的样子。But 一头这个四圣谛 first number two。佛不是说命苦，他说有一个正谛，他有才调过世给你听，做什么世间这样一个苦，但你有了他的不经的智慧，你了解了 actually 苦是有一个原因的，他的原因就是无名 带来制作，因为六波智慧，六波迄个，六波 wisdom what they call in Hokkien， 啊地位哈，地位啊，智慧啊，啊地位啊，地位，知识啊地位啊，所以智慧啊重要，一以来源呐、苦的来源呐、一人大乘叫寂，寂的是 accumulation， 所以比方你无明，你不了解，你以为你这个肉体是这个人有我的，是我。但是你是有我，也你我相，也我就造出来了。这个你我相也做了制作，制作。所以，因为无明带来制作，制作带来苦，你是执着制作，你以为这个是。你会惊，你会财产，你会哈咪物件，你以为是永远阿廖阿家，但因为无明，你会去执着执着，但不跟我讲，一切因缘法，即为因缘呢。一无因，就现出一缘。像啊，这个每一个众生，伊愈爱有物件，愈爱了解有智慧，去安怎去拥有？愈爱 cultivate the condition， means 愈有种因，伊就结果；种善因，结善果。种恶因，结恶果。但是每一个众生爱修心，千万不要种错因，结错果。所以做人啊，简单，佛有讲，你若要会晓因果，你无无明，你会晓对伊教，你安怎去修？你的命就好，人好心好，命就好，人安怎好，不可以有贪嗔痴，不可以有三毒，贪嗔痴就是三毒，不可以贪，不可以发脾气，不可以envy jealousy what you call加错，把嗰只嫉妒心啊，是啊，未使嫉妒啊，一直嫉妒啊，你说 jealousy envy 啊，唔是啊，我懂了，唔要紧，想要紧是心爱好，人爱好，所以贪嗔痴，嗔是想啊。你发脾气啊，你管人啊，就是恨人啊，迄个干了是恨，痴是怒气气，因为无明，所以无明 actually 是很风险的，因为无明才有贪，才有嗔，所以也不讲一路爱。脱离贪嗔痴 ，means 你人心爱好，爱好就是爱修戒，五戒第九，不杀生，卖偷盗，卖邪淫，卖讲骗话 ，other thing， and the other one is 不饮酒 所以这五戒真要紧，嗯，这五戒你无修，你的命就无好。比如讲，有贪嗔痴的人会晓破，这五戒达到破的，伊修未到的，嗯。都有贪的人，有嗔恨心的人，有无明的人，修未到五戒的，所以爱脱离贪嗔痴，你达到爱有这个好的心，嗯，好的心就是像讲迄个啥物慈悲心啊，爱心啦、啊，像讲 sincerity 啊，我要讲。老实人，no 啦 ，sincere， 真诚啊 ，sincerity 啊，然后 honesty， 嗯 ，then see my whole 啦 ，kindness， gentleness， pleasantness， then I 尊敬人家 ，respect， then you must have gratitude 是叫咩？感恩啊。Then you must have compassion, compassion, 自卑心啊，所以你就会有安尼款的心态，你人就好，人好，心好，命好，但是你爱得佛的教导就是脱离一切恶，心善，要。修内心，所以脱离一切恶是爱修五戒，行善就是修八正道，连择善也是修八正道，所以爱修八正道，就爱修布施、达那、戒、施啊、加择善，Bhavana， 所以布施、修戒、择善是第一重要的修行，所以这里是 just 好多有一个简单的了解，所以那我教你择善，我特别用阿摩话，所以你不晓听不要紧，你点你思想麦克想放松放灵。Relax, what you call relax? 放松放松 relax, body and mind, relax, completely relax. 哈密都买笑，也是想去有一去，爱修这个心斋了，斋了，注意心嘛，爱注意了，斋了，注意，觉，一人是叫正觉。觉，实地正念，正念 and awareness， 所以，假使你用这个字，这福建字啊，注意心嘛，你心爱注意就使了，卖在注意，还没去注意 aware， 一注意点就使了。下面都明白，你可以静下来，三妈依家起会静下来，你唔系去有杂事哦，你的心就静下来了，所以这些那容易。I'll give you off the light, so that I can give you about 10 minutes. Oh, no, my later, she will read the book. Oh, Ghana. Sorry, today we got a few of new people. Then one of the Kayamita's mother is here from Penang. She only know Hokkien. So I need to use a little bit of Hokkien to share some very basic Dhamma with her. So hope you bear with us. I understand you also new. But I will give you some books after this session so that you can read up a bit. Then if you want to learn further, we got a website. You can log into our website where all my sharing Dhamma talk, our whatever activity, they are all there. Then our transcript book, the publication of all this book, they are for free distribution. You can have them, it's all free. Then there are also a lot of description about our activities, and the whole wealth of Dhamma material that are available for people who are interested and keen to learn the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. And they are all there, very comprehensive and very, very beautifully laid out. Yeah. And they are all set up by volunteers, yeah, who volunteer to help out. Mm. And our grouping, we call it Dhamma Friends, yeah, Kayana Mitas. So this website is just very simple, yeah, brotherteos.com, brotherteos.com, or brotherteosmykayanamita.com. Then now I will give those who understand English some simple instruction to learn, to train your mind, to calm down your mind, to develop some form of simple meditative mind. Okay, just relax body and mind. Relax completely. Free the mind. Relax body. Then silence everything. Make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Try to be straight. Then just relax. Breathe in, breathe out normally. And if you can, you close your eye. Close your eye. Then I will teach you a very simple technique to calm yourself down. We call it the mind sweeping method, followed by metta, loving kindness. So you close your eye, you feel your forehead, just feel. Don't think, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax. Feel it completely, relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep your attention down to your eye muscle. Feel, do the same, feel, don't think, feel, relax. Each and every strand of your eye muscle, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep down your facial muscle, feel them. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it. Just relax into it. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, relax. And to help you relax, you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile facing a mirror. When you can smile, you have joy. When you have joy, naturally your facial muscle will relax. Joy is very important to your health, to your mind state. So learn to have more joy. Learn to be happy. Learn to have love, to have peace, to have joy within your heart. Then you can radiate this metta or loving kindness, starting with your own self. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. May it too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my good friends, my neighbors, and others that have affinity with this nature of mind. May they all to be well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind, and your own loved one's body and mind. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhanjaya, including all Kayanamitas, all fellow meditator, cultivator, and all beings throughout the whole of Subhanjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings throughout our entire solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the whole universe. May they all too be well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax. Don't think, feel, relax. Then sweep your mind down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. You become conscious and aware from here. Your heartbeat, your heart rate, they arise from here because the karmic force, the life force that pump your heart, they also reside here. That's why you have to silence your mind and just feel where your heart area feel. If you are sensitive, you can detect any vibration or detect your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. If you can't, if you are new, then it's okay. You just feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead. Then just relax into it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then after that, you swim it down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock. Feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole cycle, mind sweeping method. From buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Don't have to remember anything. They are all in the transcript book later on. You can read up about them. You just follow instruction and try your very best to develop this type of peacefulness, calmness within. Then you move your attention back to your heart, chest area, silence everything and just feel. You can feel calmness, peacefulness any vibration or your heartbeat. Just silence everything and stay there. If you can't, you just relax into it and sweep it up to your shoulder. Feel, relax, neck. Feel, relax, then facial muscle. Feel, relax. Then your eye muscle. Feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. This is called the silent mind. So, the main aim of training the mind is to decondition your heedless thinking so that it will become peaceful, quiet. The first benefit of meditation is, of course, inner peace, which you will experience if you do it properly. So this inner peace will lead to inner well-being. Then your radiation of love and metta just now will lead to well-being too. So the first two benefits of meditation is to cultivate the training of the mind to develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then when there is inner peace and inner well-being, your mind will be very quiet. There will be clarity. There will be peacefulness. There will be calmness. As such, your mind can meditate. Then now I will teach you how to stabilize this calmness, this peacefulness of mind. I will teach you another technique. We call it anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is actually a skillful means of training your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. When you are mindful, you are just aware, very calm, very peaceful. There is no thought. So like you feel your forehead, now you silence everything, close your eye and feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just feel. The moment you detect your breathing, then like the instruction given by the Buddha, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Initially, you are new, you are not skillful, you are not trained before. You will come to realize your mind wanders off very fast. Split second is no longer aware or mindful of the in and out breath. It's already lost in thought. Heedlessly lost in thought, thinking, the mind wanders off. But don't worry, every time it wanders off, just come back to the breathing. So you need to train as many times as possible. Sometimes the instructions say you must expect your mind to wander off many, many times. But every time it wanders off, you just remind yourself to be mindful, aware, bring it back. If you are patient, not long, anapanasati will build up. The moment anapanasati builds up, you will feel the peace within, the calmness within. You will experience a type of inner peace, inner calmness, born of piti. Piti is a Pali word that describes the meditative calm. They call it the spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. Sometimes they call it the spiritual rupture of mind. The mind like enter rupture, become very peaceful and feel very good. Then you continue to allow this anapanasati to go on. Just relax into it and maintain mindfulness, awareness for as long as you can. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 5 minutes. Then after that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation after you hear the bell. Okay. So still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not slowly, mindfully come out of meditation, then just relax and maintain some form of calmness, peacefulness of mind. Whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed, try to maintain them for as long as you can. Okay. So for Angie's mother, you tell her, you go back, you try your best to help her understand. I will continue my session with English, yeah, better. Otherwise, I think a lot of people will be affected. So tell her to have faith, just silence her mind, yeah, just maintain attentiveness. Yeah. So, auntie, what do I do with young Amo or Kong today? Yeah? Because why Hokkien wa bu ho? Kong leo ko bo sun leo. Yeah, ko bo chun. Leo ko chia ban. Chia ban. So, wa oka NG Kong itun hi. I huan e kong lu tia. Leo lu dao ai o. Lia sai bam ban. Kiểu apang apang li hai apang lai apang bolai apang apang ga li hai le sai kiểu apang ka lo i ka wa o a ku le i le ka ya chi ng bun be pai so xiang yao kian si ai zeng lo lai si mai zeng zu ting 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 le si zeng điểm, mai ở tư xương, lê xin trẻ, u chế cái tinh, y lực tư liền, y học tư xiên nào ấy, mai ở tập xiao, tập xiao là vọng xiang, vọng xiang là vô minh tạo thành ấy, vô vô minh, vô vọng xiang, vô vọng xiang, vô vô minh là vô tự do, vô tự do là vô khổ. Mia lo ho. That's why lang ho, sim ho, mia ho. U zi hui, ye sim a zeng e. I be hi zap siao e. I be u wang siang. I be u wu ming, I be u zi zo, I be hi lia ming kia. I be hi xa gong zap jo a, huan lo a. So I lang gong huan lo wu ing e. Chấp chấp với mô hình ấy. Sáng yếu kinh, châu lắng, xì mai hô. Nếu ai hòa hì, sáng ngày lại học kiến qua hòa hì là hô. Hòa hì, xìm, là khuy. Sáng yếu kinh, ai hòa hì. Lúc ấy bằng ấy lắng, ấy chấp siêu ấy lắng, bà lúc ấy hòa hì. Này con bố lúc ấy tăng tâm xìm. Hà mê bún ai hoàn lô. Sáng ấy lắng, âm mô lắng con á. Lô hò ya complain, bố lô hò ya complain, chua ya complain, xeo linh ya complain. So bố mò chọ. Ai ô mò chọ. Sư chú sinh. Contentment is very important. So cả lẹo. So tonight I will continue with my sharing in English. So it's easier for most of you. So tonight we really, in fact, like I said before we start the class, tonight is quite a unique night because it happened to be the eve of Hari Raya. Midnight, I think, will be Hari Raya. Then tonight also we have Chingyap here, his birthday. So we should all end a bit earlier so that we can celebrate. I say a bit earlier because tomorrow holiday, then Saturday also holiday, Sunday also holiday. So you are not in a hurry to go back. Oh, you want to watch football? Can tonight midnight only start? Don't worry, you got a lot of time. Then, as I mentioned, to understand the Buddhist teaching is very simple. What is more important is, we need to do the invocation to the devas. Okay, turn to page 6. I will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, those who know how to chant, we can chant together in Pali. samanta cakawalesu atra gacantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija carana sampano sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahoneyo Pahoneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jama. Padang Pujami. Damang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Maintain some of our attention. Then we can have our Dhamma sharing. Yeah? Normally, our second session is what we call reporting of meditation. Yeah? So if you got any question regarding meditation, and also any question regarding the teaching, you can ask me. So this is the time where you can put up your hand. Then I will pass you the mic. Then you can ask whatever question or report your meditation so that I can guide you along. Yeah? So this is supposed to be an informal session where we can discuss whatever topic on meditation and the Buddhist teaching, so that it can help you understand the teaching better. Okay, before we continue, anybody wants to report meditation or ask any questions? You are new, Miss Ghana, so nice to meet you. You are most welcome to join us. I hope you are able to fit in because you come in later. I don't have enough time to introduce to you what we do here. What we do here is maybe I make use of this time to share with you. It's called a weekly Thursday meditation come Dhamma sharing class. So these are one of our weekly activities. We got another one is Tuesday class. That one is in SS2 at my house. Then we got another one, Sunday class. Sunday class, the session is 3 to 6, slightly longer. Sunday class, the first 1.5 hour is Sutta class, where we study the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. We share the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta Dhamma. Then after that, we got the next session, which is another 1.5 hour of something like that. Meditation, followed by reporting of meditation and Q&A. Then, during our typical weekly class, what we do is we will start with puja. Puja is the Pali word for devotional practice as recommended by the Buddha. So when you make offering to the Buddha, all of the items that you see on the altar, these are typical Buddhist puja offerings because they have many of these important Dhamma understanding behind. So the significance of all this puja offering is very important. It is one of the way that the Buddha introduced his teaching. He said to understand his teaching, you need to have certain mental factors, mind states that can allow him to allow one to understand his teaching. He called it the spiritual faculties, or the spiritual mental states that can allow you to understand his spiritual teaching. That's why he called it the Pancha Indriyas, or five spiritual faculties or mental states. First one is Saddha in Pali. The English translation is faith or confidence in his teaching. And the Buddha himself, because you have to reflect deeply into who the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Means perfect in enlightenment. Means you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. That's why to have such a great teacher to guide you, you should develop the faith in him, the gratitude and the respect for him, through understanding clearly how unique a being he is, how special a being he is. To be enlightened is already very, very blessed and very unique. But he is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, complete in all aspects of enlightenment. That's why he is not only wise, he is the wisest of them all, teacher of man and God. He got 9 great quality or virtue that makes him different, distinct him from all the other religious teacher. So when you have faith in him and his teaching, you will be able to learn from him, Like when you have faith in your teacher, you have confidence in your teacher, then you develop the same confidence in yourself. So just like our normal life situation, when you have faith, they used to say, half the battle is gone, or won. It's just like you go for exam. If you are confident, you have faith in your study, means you will do well, because faith is very important. But if you don't have that confidence, that faith, you cannot do well. So spiritual faculty is similar, but deeper, because here it's not blind faith. Is faith born of understanding who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful that teaching is. Because he has this teaching that he has realized over aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation, long period of cultivation. And this teaching is so unique. It can make you enlightened, awakened, so that you got no more suffering, no more misery, so that there is nothing in this world that can make you unhappy or miserable anymore, and your mind state can be free or liberated. And such is the uniqueness of his teaching. That's why his teaching is very simple but very beautiful. So this understanding will drive you to cultivate this teaching, because this is, to me, the most important thing in life. If I don't understand this teaching, I don't understand life. I will have suffering, I will have problem, I will have misery. I will have difficulty understanding myself, the world, confronting the world. Like the great topic that just now we were trying to get to understand, because as Buddhists, the most fundamental of doctrine, the teaching, evolve around the law of karma. Karma is a very unique topic within the Buddhist teaching. From there, all his teaching actually comes about, because his teaching is very, very deeply related to this law of karma, the topic of karma. When you understand this law, you understand life, you understand everything. We are the whole of humanity, all mankind, evolves around this karma. The Buddha called it moral causation. Everything that involves the moral aspect of the mind entangles with this law. That's why it's called the moral causation, or the law of cause and effect within the moral aspect of it. So it's a spiritual law. Okay, when we see the importance of this teaching, we will be driven by a type of energy the Buddha called virya, the second spiritual faculty, means the spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. Means you see the importance of cultivating this teaching, developing your mind, purifying it so that it can become enlightened, awakened, so that you can understand life completely, beautifully, so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you don't have to confront suffering anymore. There is no more negativity of mind state, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow, no more problem in life. So many things that this teaching can bring forth. And when you understand the beauty of his teaching, you will go all out to cultivate. That's why from faith or confidence in the Buddha, you will develop this virya, which is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. So that is the second spiritual faculty. Then he said the third one is most important, sati, mindfulness. You have to develop awareness, mindfulness, he said. Your mind has to be just aware, mindful, not lost in thought. So it brings us to this topic. The Buddha said, You must understand, as a human being, we have a mind. We have a mind. We have a physical body. So as a human being, you have a physical body. You have a mind. So this one is mind. This one is the physical body. Physical. So this physical body, together with this mind, these two you call the human being. Human being. And his teaching is very simple, isn't it? As far as this physical body is concerned, it's very easy to understand. Huh? Each and every one of us has a physical body. You look at this physical body, yeah? What does it consist of? Yeah? What is your body consist of? Yeah? What is your body consist of? Huh? Cells. Oh. What about making it more general? It only elements, isn't it? Correct or not? The four elements that make this physical body there. What are the four elements that manifest within this body? You have the earth element or solidity, yeah? The solid part within your physical body. That's why the Buddha called it Pathavi. Yeah, Pathavi. Pathavi means the earth element. Earth element is the parts that are solid, like your bones, yeah? Your flesh and all those things, your teeth, yeah? Your skulls. Yeah? Then apart from earth element, you got what else? Water element, yeah? Like your blood, yeah? Your mucus, your fluid within. Yeah? So this is called apo, yeah? The element of apo, the Pali word. Mm. So this water element got cohesion. Yeah? Then the third one is, of course, there is this wind element. Yeah? You have your breath, yeah? Then you have this, what they call heartbeat that pumps, yeah? The blood all around. Then it is this wind element that keep our posture, allow us to stand and all those things, of course, with the muscle and all those things, yeah? To interact. Then we also have the heat element, yeah? The heat element is the one that maintain the warm within, yeah? So the body has its own temperature. Mm. So these four elements interplay. Yeah? Interplay. So that's why you heard of many Buddhist teaching. They say the physical body is made of four elements. They call it the Si Da. Si Da. Si Dai Gai Hong. Si Da Jie Kong. The four elements are empty. Kong. Because it's only element, no knowing. How can it be you? So, physical body is only made of elements. That's why it's a physical aspect. So, this is the four elements. Mm. So, when you know it's the four elements, yeah, it cannot be you. So, this physical body is definitely not real, not you, not what you think you are. But it's one aspect of the human being. Then you have the mind. So our meditation class here is to understand this mind. This mind is very important. The Buddha said there are two types of mind. One is your true mind. The other one is your mundane mind. This one you have to really develop clear understanding. Otherwise not easy for you to meditate. Let's don't try to understand the true mind first. Understand the mundane mind. The mundane mind is also called the thinking mind. Thinking mind. So when I say thinking mind, easy to understand, huh? Because human beings think a lot, right? So this is also called the mundane mind, because doing mundane thing, very mundane, understand or not? Yeah. Whereas the true mind is another aspect of mind. When this thinking mind is quiet, when this thinking mind is not there, when this mundane mind is not there, when this condition arising mind is not there, it's also called condition arising, because without condition it doesn't arise. So it's also called condition arising mind. And how does this mind arise? How does your thought arise? You have been thinking for so long, huh? Since birth until now, you don't know how you think. Yeah. Memory is correct, yeah, very good. Yeah. You see, what you need is, you need memory. Without memory, there is no thought, no thinking. This mundane mind, they need condition for it to arise. And what are the conditions that you need for it to arise? Like you say you need a brain. Huh? That's why we have memories. Huh? Memories. So these memories are very important. You need a brain. Huh? Without brain, there is no memory. Without brain, there is no accumulation. That's why our memories are our accumulation of experiences, good and bad. So what do you accumulate in your brain? Huh? See? All written here. Huh? Most of us, I say most, not all, most of us accumulate a lot of negative one. You agree or not? You seldom have good memories. You have also, you don't have much time to recall. Most of the time you recall the negative aspect, the bad memory. Why? Huh? Why? Yeah? Because you call this your problem. When you have problem, what you do? You worry, isn't it? So what is this? Fear, worry, anxiety. So when you have problem, insecurity or problems, you have fear, worry, anxiety, isn't it? And you hold on to all this memory. Yeah, you say, these are my problem. I have to resolve it. That's why you attach, you cling, you hold. We call this attachment. That's why it's called accumulation. Mahayana, the second noble truth, the cause of suffering is accumulation. When you accumulate two memories without understanding, without wisdom, you accumulate the wrong thought. Oh, I rub off already. Okay. These are all actually wrong thoughts. Yeah? Wrong thoughts. Yeah. Okay, where do I write? So this one leads to, the bad one leads to wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, etc. Your phobia, your fear. So all these are wrong thoughts. So thoughts, if you were to really meditate and understand it, you will come to understand thought arise because of response to memory. So thoughts are response to memory. If there is no memory, there is no thought. That's why the newborn baby don't have memory, no thought. Their mind is different, relatively, I should say, pure. Yeah? Because it's just pure perception. They don't have those thoughts like normal human beings. They don't have what they call the cunningness, the sophisticatedness, and all those things. That's why they are very naive. They are very innocent. They are very cute. Eh? The word is very cute. Yeah. So, before memory comes in, especially the negative memory, your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, your problems, your anxieties, all right. So all this make you miserable, make you unhappy, make your mind state very negative. Yeah. That's how suffering comes to be. So cause of suffering is accumulation. When you hold on to all this negative memory, wrong thought, thought that condition all this. That's why in the teaching, you are taught to meditate, to train your mind to arise the right thought, so that there is no more wrong thought. So how does right thought arise? Right thought arises through right understanding or right view. That's why you develop the straightening of the views. You must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Otherwise, you cannot have right thought. You will always hold on to your wrong thought. But human beings' problem is like what I want to explain to you. How come most people hold on to this negative thought, bad thought, wrong thought? Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Why did you keep on holding on to all those things? Worry about it. Because you call them your problems. This word is very, very negative. If you perceive your life situation with negativity, then everything becomes a problem. But if you perceive everything as natural, normal, you got no more problem. Well, whatever happened is the reality. Because there is no negativity, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Because you understand the teaching. You understand that these are nature's law. These are realities of life and existence. Condition like that, things will be like that. This is the number two. The realities of life and existence. That's why this teaching is very simple, the Buddha said. He said, there is essentially only four things that you need to understand. They call it the Four Noble Truths. And this is the essence of his teaching. Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth explain to you the realities of life and existence. He said, whatever you confront in life, as you go through life, these are realities, he said. So, according to the Buddha, there are eight. There are eight realities, he said. He summarized all of the mundane aspects of life within these eight realities. The first four, he said, very common. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. Yeah. Most Chinese will understand this. Because you live long enough, you will experience them. Whoever is born into this world will have to go through old age, sickness, and death, provided you live long enough. Then the other four, he say, is more towards your worldly life. He said the fifth one is when there is separation. Separation from your loved ones, your possession, things that you hold on to dearly in life. When it happens, most human beings suffer, he said, become afflicted, miserable. The first four also same, when you confront birth, old age, sickness and death without wisdom, without his teaching, his understanding, you will suffer, especially confronting death, disease, sickness, or getting old, like dementia and all those things. Then childbirth, when there is complication. So this reality is a will happen. Then separation can happen in many ways. It can be due to nature's disaster, death and all those things. Then sometimes separation can be due to relationship failure, like divorce. Then misunderstanding between parents and children, brothers and sisters, loved ones. Then during economic crisis, you make a wrong decision, wrong call. Then your whatever property or what may be wiped off. Then the sixth condition or reality, the Buddha says, is when you are with people whom you don't like. Like your mother-in-law or your difficult bosses. People whom you work for. Then neighbors who may not be so friendly. Then when you have people who wants to dominate over your life, your spouse. Many things can actually give rise to problem when you are confronted with gangsterism, even in school, or bullies and other things. Then sometimes the law may exert power over you. Politician and other things, they can give you nightmare. Then kidnappers, extortionists and all these things. Then the seventh one is, as you go through life, there are many situations where things don't go your way, your expectation in life are not met. Then you cannot get what you want. You want those things so badly. You expect to be promoted. You expect to pass your exam. You expect to do well. You expect your parents to love you, to understand you. You expect your own brothers and sisters to understand you. But then, in reality, when you confront them, the other way happens. So all this give rise to suffering. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, you become afflicted. So these realities are not easy to endure, to confront. Then the last one is the Buddha say, in short, the final summary, he said, when you deludedly attach and cling on to this so-called human being, when you grasp, cling and attach to this so-called human being, thinking that it's real, it's you, then suffering will be the result. So he breaks this into the five aggregates of form and mind. He said, the physical body is one aggregate. Then the mind has four more aggregates. Where the mind can do many things, he said. So this mind got four aggregates. So 1 plus 4 will give 5. So he said, in short, the final summary, it is due to your delusion that conditioned you to grasp and cling onto this 5 aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. The 5 grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. So this is meditation, the final summary. So when we meditate, we have to find out who are we, what are we. Then meditation is to silence this mundane mind, or this thinking mind. Yeah. When you can silence this mind, then the true mind will arise. And when you experience this true mind, you will experience peace, calmness. Yeah. So this is the silent mind. We call it the meditative mind. The true mind is the silent mind or the meditative mind. So the moment you are without thought or without the thinking mind, you are already aware, mindful, peaceful. Without thought, you are peaceful. You are aware. You are mindful. You are beautiful. So this is what meditation is about. Just relax, silent, and allow the thinking mind to settle down. Finish. Without the thinking mind, without the mundane mind, the true mind will arise. In actual fact, the true mind was always there. But you are lost in thought. You are lost in this thinking mind. Lost in thought. That's why you are not aware that you have another aspect of mind, the true mind. So meditation is to come to realize this true mind. This true mind is also part of your self nature. So from your self nature, the true mind manifests. That's why from that source, that self nature, the pure awareness, which is the true mind, the pure awareness is the true mind. The first stage, it come out. From here, you have the direct seeing. Then this one create the mundane mind. So just now, I only mentioned one aspect, memory. Your thought is respond to memory. So you accumulate all the negative memory, then you will give rise to negative thought, wrong thought. Because you hold on to them, you worry about them. But then, without the senses, we have five physical senses. The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the bodily tactile, and the brain. Which is also part of the mind door, the sixth sense door. So these are the senses, the Buddha say. We have a consciousness that is trapped inside. This mind is the consciousness part. So this consciousness and its content become the thought, become the mundane mind, the condition arousing mind. And this one is the thought. This is what thought is all about. Consciousness and its content become the thought. When you understand this, it's very easy to meditate. You just have to relax, silent, and allow the thinking to slow down until finally it ceases. When it ceases, you will realize the true mind, the state of pure awareness before the knowing. And this is what sati is all about. Just now I was trying to explain this third spiritual faculty. So this one is awareness or sati. Awareness or sati. Sati is just the silent mind, awareness. So when you have this ability to be silent, to be peaceful, to be aware, then this silent mind will arise. And this is what sati is all about. Sati is awareness before the knowing. That's why when you pay respect, body and mind move as one. Without thought, that is sati. When you do anapanasati, your awareness and your breath move as one without thought. That is sati. But when thought arises, sati ceases to be. Where you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware or you are lost in thought. So this one is lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, means you are heedlessly thinking. Means this thinking mind is active. You think a lot. And when you think a lot, you worry a lot. True or not? Why do you think? You think because you got problem, isn't it? You want to solve your problem, isn't it? That's why you think, because you got something to work on. That's why you worry, you think. And the more you think, the worse it becomes. Because thinking cannot solve your problem. You understand the meaning? Huh? Thinking only help you to a certain extent to make your thought better if you know how to think the right thought. If you don't know how to think the right thought, you go and think the wrong thought, what happened? You suffer, understand? Huh? But what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your deep resentment, your envy, your jealousy, and your unhappiness. And these are all suffering, misery. That's why you must know how to think. You must think the right thought. To think the right thought, you must have wisdom. That's the reason why the problem is not with the thought. Understand? This mundane mind, this thinking mind, is actually useful. You know how to use it. It's not the problem with the thought. Thought is just thought. This thought is just like a tool. Eh? You understand? It's just like a tool, T-O-O-L, for you to use. So use it. You know what is a tool, isn't it? Eh? Like a knife. You know the knife, huh? For you to use for what? To cut vegetable, shape fruits, and help you, yeah, to do things. But if you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others, is that the right way to use that tool? Huh? Definitely wrong, isn't it? But you are precisely doing that with your thought. Do you know that? You are using your thought to arise the wrong thought, to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable. It's like arising this wrong thought to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable with all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. See it. Understand it. Then why are you so deluded? So stupid. If it's a knife, you know. Not correct. I shouldn't use it to harm myself, hurt myself, and hit out at others. Yeah, you know, this harm you, hurt you, and hurt others. So what must you do? Like that knife. Use it to arise the right thought. Correct or not? What are right thought? Yeah? Thought that bring about? Joy, happiness, peacefulness of mind, kindness. Like thought of loving kindness, metta. When you radiate love and metta, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. May my loved ones be well and happy. There is peacefulness, isn't it? There is calmness, isn't it? There is joy, isn't it? There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. True or not? That is the right way to use thought, understand or not? That's why I use it to radiate love, metta, to have goodness, to have kindness, to have virtue. And what are virtue? Virtue are good mind state. Virtues are right thought. Know where to write, huh? Better write here. Virtues are right. Kind. Good. And wholesome thoughts. That's why you must learn how to arise more and more of, more and more of this. So can we give example of virtue? What are your virtuous thoughts? Huh? Just now we already named one. Metta, loving kindness. Okay? Then? Compassion. Huh? Compassion. Then? No need to put 1, 2, 3. Okay. Gratitude. Respect. Some more? Some more? More? Huh? Kindness. Gentleness. Goodness. Then, sincerity. Sincerity. Yeah? Sincerity. Some more? Oh, this one also. The spelling, huh? C-E-R-E, yeah? So this one is one word. Huh? Sincerity. Huh? And honesty. What else? All of the wholesomeness within you. Contentment, humility, some more what? Humility. Etc. Whatever you can come up with. You see, these are the virtue that you must have. So this come back to the teaching. According to the Buddha, if you want to understand his teaching, it's very simple, is it? What you need to do is, you must develop more and more virtue to avoid all evil. To prevent the arising of all this negative thought, the wrong thought. So what is important is when you know you got two mind, you have to learn to meditate to develop the understanding of these two mind, so that you can see these two mind very clearly. Then one mind is the mundane mind. This mundane mind is what you need for you to come to this world. You have to use it because it's your tool. Your physical body is like a vehicle that takes you around. You understand? Like a car. You need to go somewhere, this car will have to move. So it's like a vehicle to take you around. Then it has the senses to arise, the consciousness. It makes you conscious of things. Conscious of what you see. Conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And make you into a conscious human being. And this conscious mind, when you become conscious, it can arise thought. You are right. You understand? Can follow? It will arise thought. That's why you can think. When you see something, you think. When you hear something, you think. That's why you think a lot. But because you don't understand thought, you don't know how to use thought, you don't know that it's a tool for you to use. You think this one is you. You think this thought is real. That's how you become emotional. You attach to it. You become miserable over it. Through your delusion, your attachment, your craving, your clinging, your grasping, When you hold on to thought, thinking that they are real, when you think the thought is you and you are the thought, that's how you become selfish, possessive, demanding. You want things your way. Then what happened? That become evil roots. You become selfish, possessive, violent, domineering. All these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which is this tree, lobha, dosa, moha. Tan chen chi, tam chin chi, greed, hatred, and delusion. The evil roots arise because of this delusion. That's why when you understand thought is a tool for you to use, so what must you do? You must learn how to use thought, isn't it? So it's not the thought. The problem is no more the thought. Do you understand? The problem is the user of this thought. Understand or not? And who is the user? Huh? Who is the user? You have been using your thought for so long. Who is the user? Huh? Who is this fellow? Huh? This one is mine. Got two types. This one is neither mundane mind nor the true mind. This one is the entity mind. Understand? This is the one that must understand. That's why this one must develop what? This mind must develop what? Wisdom. So this one must develop wisdom. Must develop wisdom. Because the use of thought is very important. Without wisdom, you don't know how to use thought. So it's nothing to do with the thought. Don't worry about the thought. The thought is your good friend. You know how to use it. Because it's a tool. Like this vehicle. Don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Understand or not? Because this is element, not you. That's why the Buddha said, this physical body is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. It goes the way of nature. It's not real, not you. That's why it's non-self. And that is basically the teaching. If you can see this, then you realize this is karmically conditioned for my mind for you to come to this world and to use, then use it. Don't go and worry about it, getting old, getting sick and die. But this is not you. These are the four elements. Goes the way of nature. Then this thought is for you to use to arise the right thought. That's why in the teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought. That's why meditation is to develop this wisdom. This mind must develop wisdom. How does it develop wisdom? When this mundane mind is silent, not active, that's why all meditation lead to the silent mind, the true mind. When this mind is quiet, peaceful, silent, it is just aware. When it's just aware, it can see things as they are. Means it can see the truth, the reality. That's how you develop wisdom. It don't see things according to your memory. Understand? Your memory is your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. And these are all relative truth. Rubbish. Not real truth. It's only through the direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision, the silent mind, the true mind, that can awaken an insight into phenomena and realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state of life, the fourth noble truth. Then realizing the second noble truth, which is the cause of arising of suffering. So this second noble truth will follow when you have the silent mind to perceive the truth. Cause or suffering. So this cause of suffering is always attachment, craving, clinging. So this one is attachment. Attachment or craving, then leading to the clinging, grasping, and all those things. Then after that, the Buddha said, when you have this understanding, when you can see the first noble truth reality manifesting in all segments of society, in all aspects of life, as you go through life, then you realize that all this suffering, they arise because of this wrong view, cause of suffering, which is wrong view, leading to attachment, craving, clinging. So this cause is wrong view, self-delusion. Self-delusion or wrong view. So this is what the Buddha called Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, wrong view. Then because of that delusion, you grasp, you cling, you hold, you become emotional. You become insecure, you become fearful, you perceive everything with negativity, becoming problem. That's why the whole of the teaching is very simple when you understand. Then when you understand, you will know how to meditate easily. Then you can see things as they are. That's the reason why I put here, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Your memory is your accumulation of experiences, relative truth. This is not the direct seeing. This one cannot understand, because this is within the field of thought. And thought is mundane mind. Cannot see truth. Thought is egoic, deluded. Thought is limited. Because it is just within the space. Consciousness, where you input the content, the whole of the spacious awareness, your true mind, your true nature, shrink into one miserable thought. And when you meditate, you see all this, you understand all this. That's why you realize the enlightenment that the Buddha teach or is trying to get you to understand or to awaken to is the Dhamma, the truth, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why he said this Dhamma is akaliko. The unique characteristic of this Dhamma is it is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's the timeless. No time, no psychological time. Psychological time is thought. Thought as movement in time. They call psychological time, mental time. So when you are with the true mind without thought, there is no mental time. That's why there is no mental suffering, no mental misery, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Everything is just silence, stillness, awareness, tranquility. Then after that, the Buddha said there is a third noble truth that explained to us the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now. He said suffering need not be in this world, in this universe of ours, where we arise. We need not go through suffering. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. And this can be realized through meditation, and it's very simple, not difficult at all. And the way to do it, he already explained, the fourth noble truth. He said you just have to cultivate this noble eightfold path, which is according to his teaching. You must have just the three right view with regards to nature's law that governs life and existence. First right view is law of karma, karma niyama. Then second right view, law of mind, citta niyama. The third right view is law of dhamma, truth. All the essential truth or dhamma that he has taught. With these three right view, you can start. Then this right view will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then you will have all the virtue. Then you got no more evil roots. That's how the teaching comes about. That's how Noble Eightfold Path purify. Can follow? Can follow? Huh? Oh, cannot follow? Put out your hand. I think the other way around easier. Don't understand, put up your hand. That means all understand, no need to explain. Huh? Because if you don't respond, you don't learn, I tell you. Yeah. If you don't understand, you just say you don't understand. Then we go through it again. Because this is not easy if you don't have the understanding. But when you understand, it's very easy. It's not difficult. Yeah. It's just like you go to school. Before you finish school, you think everything is so difficult. But once you did well in your exam, you realize actually education is not difficult. Because you understand. But you never put in the faith, the confidence, the diligence, the hard work to go and study it, understand it, and realize it, then nothing is easy. Meditation is the same. If you work towards it, if you are determined, develop the spiritual faculties, then you will do well. Then you will understand. So this one I just put here. So just now we finished sati, mindfulness. This is your silent mind, your true mind, your awareness before the knowing. When your thinking mind stops, when it doesn't arise, it's just aware. And that is sati, mindfulness, awareness before the knowing, before the perception, before the thinking starts. Then when you stabilize this sati, the mind will not only become quiet, peaceful, aware, it becomes collected and unwavering. We call it samadhi. This is samadhi. In Mahayana, they call it ting li. But this is not concentration, please. This is samadhi. Collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. This mind becomes collected and unwavering, does not stir at the moment of sense experience. When you see something, hear something, think of something, there is no movement. It's just aware. So when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. At the moment of sense experience, your mind does not stir. Your mind does not react or waver. It stays peaceful, aware. That's why it can understand the truth, the reality. All of the movement within. That's how it can awaken an insight into phenomena without words. That's why there is no thought involved. It's just the direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Seeing things as they really are. Not via thought or your memory. So this is how wisdom comes to be. When you can see things as they are, you see truth, you see the reality. Wisdom, which is the fifth spiritual faculty, will arise. And the Buddha said, without the five spiritual faculty, these five opposite mental hindrance, they will arise. And you go and check. throughout the day, most human beings, they have all this. The reason being, you don't have the five spiritual faculties. That's why you have all these five mental hindrances. And these mental hindrances are called mental hindrances because they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. You cannot meditate. That's why it's called mental hindrance. It hinders you from becoming peaceful, mindful, aware, from having the spiritual faculties. And what are they? Sensual desire and ill will. Every moment in life when you see something, hear something, smell something, tactile feel something, or taste something, or think of something, what happens? You react to sense experience. You stir your mind. You got like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. You got preference. You got desire, positive and negative. So they call it sensual desire and ill will. Things that you like, it becomes a desire of your senses. Things that you don't like, you want to reject it, ill will. That's why when you throughout the day arise this type of mental hindrance, what will happen to you? It will become habitual. This will become habitual tendency and make you live life this way. And this is heedless living because throughout the day you react to sense experience and develop mental hindrance. So how can you be peaceful? That's why you are never peaceful. Then how can you meditate? Your mental hindrances are there. That's why you have to cultivate the opposite five to overcome them. Then the other one is the third one, sloth and torpor, sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. When you don't see the importance of meditation or training this mind, ask you to meditate, you feel sleepy. Because there is no virya, no energy behind. The spiritual zeal is not there. And without faith, again, you got doubt. The last one is doubt. You're not sure. Then the fourth one is the worst. When you have problem, what happens? You worry. You got fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's why your mind becomes restless, the Buddha said. So restlessness of mind is a mental hindrance. When you have problem, you worry. You got anxiety, you got sorrow. That's why your mind becomes restless, not peaceful. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So all these are mental hindrances and make you miserable. So basically, essentially, yeah, this is what the teaching covers. And when you understand all this, you will know how to meditate and you will know how to use it to help you understand life and become beautiful. Yeah. So coming back as a summary, yeah, what do you learn? You got too much thing on the whiteboard, isn't it? Don't try to remember anything. Just simple thing. The Buddha wants you to avoid all evil, means understand what constitutes evil. Greed, hatred, and delusion. This comes from the ego, egoic self, the personality, thinking that you exist. That's how you become selfish. Selfishness is part of greed. Do you understand? When you are selfish, you have the evil roots of greed. And a selfish person is an evil person. You agree or not? Because he only cares for himself. You understand or not? 自己顾自己啊。 贪, selfish. Yeah. Then, apart from greed, what else is selfishness? Apart from selfishness, what else is greediness? The evil roots of greed. Yeah? Of course, selfishness is a very big item, isn't it? Within greed, within the evil root. What else? You have to understand, otherwise you have it also you don't know. Spouse will know. When you are, you want to control your husband or your wife, what you do? You become possessive, isn't it? possessiveness is trying to dominate. There is greed, selfish, understand or not? That's why don't do all these things. Then, what else? Your craving, your desire is part of greed, understand or not? Your covetousness, your lust, you understand? When you try to hold on to things, cling on to things, grasp on to things, all these are your greed. Even your wealth, your property, your possession, your loved one. This is attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, positive aspect. And that is evil root. Avoid all evil. That's why root them all out. Then the second evil root is what? Hatred. It's not only when you hate somebody you got this evil root, you understand? Whenever you are angry, emotional, when you have envy, jealousy, deep resentment, unhappiness, these are all the evil roots of hatred. That's why this one is dosa, Malay word. Evil, understand? Dosa. First one, loba. The loba that you like to eat on. That one is greed. Then moha is delusion, self-delusion. Self-delusion means what? All of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your misery, these are all born of self-delusion. Well, you don't understand. You cause your own suffering, misery, affliction. That's why this one is wrong view, self-delusion. You attach, you cling, you grasp. All of the evil roots of greed and hatred come from there. So, to be a cultivator, to be a Buddhist, is very easy. The Buddha said to be truly spiritual. I prefer the word spirituality, spiritual. You must learn how to use this word. Because I realize you call yourself a Buddhist, no use. There are a lot of people attached to this label. I prefer this word, spirituality. Develop spirituality. Be spiritual. Don't cling on to any religious label. No use. Because a lot of cultivator, religious people, in inverted comma, they claim to be religious and spiritual by clinging onto their religious label. You know what is a religious label? All the ism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, or whatever ism. The religion that you cling onto, hold onto, you call yourself Buddhist. You cling on to Buddhism. The religious label doesn't make you spiritual. Always remember, that label got no meaning. If you call yourself a Buddhist, I ask you one very simple question. What do you mean by you are a Buddhist? Does it mean that you are spiritual? Hey, I Buddhist, no. Oh, I don't kill one, no. I don't steal one, no. Yeah. Does that make you a Buddhist? Yeah? If you really hold on to that principle, yes. You follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. That's why you are told to keep the five precepts. If you can't even keep your five precepts to avoid all evil and develop virtue to do good, then you are not worthy to be a Buddhist, understand? That religious label got no meaning. You are a Buddhist by name. You are not a true Buddhist. You are not worthy of the Buddha's teaching. You understand the difference? Because to be really spiritual is to have the embodiment of their teaching. You follow their advice, at least to be worthy of the Buddha's teaching, to call yourself a true Buddhist. Otherwise, you spoil that religious label. You say, I'm a Buddhist, yet you argue with people, fight with people, do all the nonsense. That doesn't make you Buddhist. And you argue a lot. You don't have virtue. You don't have kindness, goodness, sincerity. That's why this is what we call spirituality. It's not outwardly what you are by claiming to be a Buddhist or a Christian or whatever. But that religious label doesn't make you spiritual. Your heart is more important. If your heart has goodness, have kindness, then you are spiritual. The religious label is not important. That's why the world must have this understanding of spirituality. No more arguing about what religion you are. Do you have spiritual quality in you? You have spiritual quality in you. Your religious label is not important. You got goodness, kindness, sincerity. You don't have greed, hatred, delusion. You are not greedy. You are not violent. You are not those people who attack people's faith and religion. If you don't have the understanding of spirituality, you are violent. You are not peaceful. That's why Krishnamurti say, all this spiritual label, religious label, they divide. And whenever you call yourself by any of this label, even calling yourself a Buddhist, you are violent. You see? You know why you are violent? Where you separate yourself from others. Only Buddhist you think is the right category of being. Non-Buddhists are all just like certain religion. You must be theirs only. You cannot monopolize spirituality. You cannot monopolize truth. Truth is universal. When your heart has virtue, kindness, goodness, spirituality, then you are really spiritual. Otherwise, that religious label will create more confusion, more division, more argument. That's why we have so much racial thing early on. Hopefully with the new Malaysia, we are able to actually do away with all those racial things. And we embody more of Malaysian entity as a new Malaysia. So all this, 10:30 already, we have to end. So the summary is very easy. Understand the three evil root to avoid all evil. Understand what is virtue. Cultivate more and more of this. Then you will be spiritual straight away. Then you want to go a step further. Meditate. Train your mind. Develop wisdom, understanding. Learn how to use thought. Then you will become beautiful. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today at least we managed to complete the general aspect of the teaching. But if you go back and re-listen to this, it will help you a lot. For most of you, it will take you a long time to digest them. But don't worry, you have faith. You can understand very easily. Then for those who have been with us for quite some time, this is like revision to you, and it's very useful because seldom you have condition to actually summarize everything for you to reflect upon, contemplate upon. Well, this is another approach to the teaching, which most Buddhists also cannot comprehend. And the Dhamma is so beautiful, so unique. It can be approached from many, many aspects. How many of you find it useful? Wow, that is a great. Wow, at least now got hand come out. Just now, no hand at all. No? Means nobody find it useful. Huh? Then I don't know what to do with you. Because the teaching is so simple. It is not something that is esoteric or very difficult to understand. I remember during the early days, a lot of people whom I met during the early days, they used to tell me, Buddhism not easy, very deep one. I say, yeah. I say, why? He say, monk full time also cannot understand. We all lay people, we don't stand a chance. And he said, Dhamma, he used the word Dhamma. But then, I just understand it very naturally. And when I understand it, it's just not difficult. Because it's just about truth. It's just like science, nothing else. It is in fact very scientific. Except it's more towards the spiritual side, the spiritual understanding of science. Whereas science is more technical, the physical aspect. This is the spiritual aspect of science. It's very scientific, but it's on the spiritual aspect. It involves the moral causation, it involves the mind, the consciousness, which science has not really able to penetrate. Science has actually dealt with a very, very superficial aspect of the spiritual teaching. They got psychology there. You heard of people studying psychology there. That's why you got psychiatrists and all those things. Then the field of psychology is expanding. But this is the field of thought. Do you understand? The field of thought is a very wide field to the scientists. Because they can't comprehend thought. It's too powerful, too sophisticated for them. But they didn't realize there is another aspect of mind, which is consciousness. Because thought is just consciousness and its content. But when you go into pure awareness, consciousness itself, beyond thought, is another completely new field, which scientists has yet to come across. To develop comprehension and understanding. They only know that there is a word called singularity. And they tend to agree with the spiritual field on this aspect of singularity. They say the source of all things, the beginning of all things, the singularity. From that singularity, everything comes about. And towards the singularity, everything returns. In that aspect, not bad, but doesn't explain anything. It's just like telling there's a source where everything begins, and there's a source where everything returns. What does that tell you? It's just like the great Tao, the Tao teaching. Nothing is apart from the Tao. Then whatever that can be spoken, expressed, or named is not the Tao, not the true Tao. But yet, nothing is apart from the Tao. It doesn't tell you anything. But when you really meditate, when your mind realizes the silence, the stillness, the new understanding of consciousness, the true mind, then you go through the various stages of transformation, then you realize the enlightenment, the cessation. And then you can understand all this. Then it's not difficult. Then that nature becomes very different. Okay, we better end. So let us share merits and transfer merits. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed through all this very useful sharing. Then let us share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etawata caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, then we will end.